If you've got your Bibles with you, it'll come up on the screen if you don't, but if you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to read the famous passage in the Bible, the parable of the prodigal son, the lost son, from Luke chapter 15. It says this, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men."' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way away, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied. 'Your father has killed a fattened calf because he has with him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" We're going to watch a little video, so Paul's going to cue the video. I think you'll all agree that this world that we live in is an amazing place. It's a phenomenal place. I've traveled quite a bit. I've seen a fair bit of it. And there are times when the beauty of this world just kind of simply leaves you speechless. I don't know if you've ever had that. You've been standing on the top of a mountain. Maybe for you, it's not scenery that kind of stirs the heart or the soul. For me, one of the best moments of my life, I thought about trying to tell you football stories, but you know what? I'm useless at football, so I'm not going to tell you that. One of the great times of my life, I play the violin, and I got the chance to play in Orléans Cathedral, south of Paris, with the orchestra I was in. And we played this amazing piece of music. It's called Nimrod by Edward Elgar. Seriously, if you haven't heard it, go home today, stick it in iTunes. Fantastic. But you know something? Whenever I hear that tune, I never, ever, ever do I think Never do I think, wow, what a great guy Edward Elgar was at stumbling across those random set of notes. How amazing it is that he managed to put that, he just stumbled across it and kind of happened to stick all those notes together and it came out like that. And it stirred my heart and my soul. And just when I stand on a mountain or look over an amazing view, my heart is stirred. And the Bible says that is no accident. That those stirrings in your heart are in fact hints of the Creator, pointers to His eternal power and His divine nature. That even though we can't see God, we know that He is here. And we get a glimpse of how the world was meant to be. But you see, it's just a glimpse. Because it comes and it goes. Because the reality is that although planet Earth, we see the amazing animals and the scenery, this world is often ugly and awful, and it's not really that beautiful. There's a sense within us that it could be great, that it should be great, but we can never seem to make it work. We can't ever seem to make our own lives work the way we want to do it. We don't even seem to be able to run our own lives most of the time, let alone run everybody else's lives. Oh, yeah, sure, you'll come to church. Christians will make it look like they have run their own lives well. Yeah, we do that very well. But it's not true. You see, there's something wrong with our world. There is something wrong with us. We can never seem to be the people that we want to be. It's not how it should be. Now, you might be wondering why we read from that part of the Bible. A story that was told by Jesus on earth to make a point. It never actually happened. It was a story that Jesus tells to illustrate a point. And it's a story simply, you know the story, it's a story of a loving and gracious father and a son who lives with that father. And the son had it all. His life was great. He had a loving home. All of the wealth that he could have wanted. But he wasn't happy. Because he wanted to run his life his way. And just, we sometimes think that this story is about teenage rebellion. It's not. This is a son who turned to his father and said, "I wish you were dead. I want you to die because I want your thing. I don't want you. I want your thing." And the amazing thing in the story is that instead of the father giving him a kicking, the father says, "Okay. Okay, here's the inheritance. You can have it." It's a shocking story. It was designed, incidentally, to do exactly that, to shock. Even in our culture, imagine going to your father and saying, "I wish you would die." And you see, the Bible says that From the beginning of time, that is exactly what man has done with God. That we had it all. We had relationship with God. We had all his blessings, but we didn't want it. We did not want God. And the thing is that it didn't work well for the Son, and it hasn't worked well for us. Because instead of having God and thinking and saying, well, we can run our own lives, everything has gone wrong. I mean, sure, we'll blame God when stuff goes wrong, when we don't get what we want, but we don't want him. Now, you see, the Bible is a really honest book. If you've never read it, it's a really honest book. It really doesn't pull its punches. And the Bible repeatedly confronts us with this truth, that the problem with this world is not global warming. It is not corrupt people who are far away. It is not Iraq warlords. It's not even the drug dealer who's down the street. No, you see, the Bible makes it clear that the problem in this world starts within us. It's an uncomfortable truth. But if there was no one else in this world but me, it would still be a mess. Why? Because I'm a mess. I'm a mess. So what about the son in the story? How did he end up? Well, he ended up face down in the dirt. In pig dirt, actually, which for a Jewish boy is about as bad as it can get. And you see, his decisions, his sin, the way he lived his life, well, they brought disaster on him. If he was in court, you'd say, yeah, you're guilty. You did it to yourself. And you know something? That really ought to be the end of the story. See, that it should have been the end of the story, but it wasn't the end of the story. He should have been left to lie in the dirt, but he wasn't. He ran back up the road. His father saw him coming, and then he wrapped his arms around him, took him back to have a relationship with him again. And the story finished and we had our happy ever after. Except that's not where the story finished either. You see, there was another son in the story. And maybe you haven't heard about this son, but let me tell you, this son's important. He's important whether you have never come to church before or whether you've been here a lot. Because you see, this other son, he didn't end up in the gutter. He didn't end up face down in the dirt. At least that's not what it looked like. He'd stayed with the father. He'd been there all along. Coming to church, yeah, tick. Looking the right way, yeah, tick. Got that one too. But he really wasn't any more interested in the dad than anyone else. Certainly not in the other brother. See, he thought that God owed him, or the father owed him. If you haven't worked it out already, The father in the story is God. If I do this and this and this and this, I get God. Well, actually, I get the father's things. Because you see, if I do those sort of things, then bad things shouldn't happen to me. See, the truth is, both brothers were as bad as each other. Didn't look like it on the outside, but that's how it is on the inside. They're just different ways of expressing it. So if you come here this morning and you think, man, my face is in the dirt, my life is a mess, well, God is waiting for you. If you came here this morning thinking, I am fantastic, I've been here all the time, I'm 75 years old and I've been here for years, you need that hug, that embrace from God just as much as anyone else. You know, I didn't read them, but there are two stories that come before. There's a story about a lost coin, and there's a story about a lost sheep. And in both those stories, someone goes looking. Someone goes searching for the coin, for the sheep. No one goes looking in this story. Yeah, the son comes back, but nobody goes looking for the son. Why? Who was supposed to do the looking? The older brother was the guy who was supposed to do the looking. It wasn't the father, it was the older son. Do you know something? People will often tell you there's no difference between Christianity and every other religion. Maybe you're sitting thinking that. Christianity, it's just the same old, same old, same old. And listen, Christians, sometimes we give the idea that there isn't any difference. But there really is. Because you see, all the other religions of the world will tell you that if you try hard, you will find God. That he's inside you. If you work really hard. But you see, Christians say, no, 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 no. There is an elder brother who came looking for you because you couldn't do it on your own. The reason you can't make life work is because you're broken and there is only one who can fix you. You don't earn it, you're given it. And God says, I want you to be in relationship with me. Like a husband and a wife. Like a father, like a son. In the deepest relationship you can imagine. And you know something? He searched for you. He searched for you. And it wasn't free and easy. It came with a cost. A real serious cost. For the elder brother in this story, by the way, if the elder brother lets the younger brother back in, who does it cost? It costs him. He's the one who has to support the penniless son. And it cost God to come and bring you back into relationship. But you know something? Is it true? Is any of it true? Because let me tell you this morning, if it's true, it changes everything. And I want to confront you this morning with that question. Is it true? Is it? You know, I was going to finish it there. That's what my notes said. And it's, you know, nearly 20 to 1, so church is only supposed to last an hour. But you know something, just for me, I can't believe that who I am, that God would want me. He doesn't need me, but he wants me. Is it true? Let me tell you, if it's true, it changes everything. Whether you've been in church all your life, or whether this is the first time. But please don't leave this place this morning without asking yourself that question. Is it true? Let's pray. Dear Father God, we come in the quietness and the stillness. I thank you that I know that it is true. I can't comprehend your grace for me to wipe away my sin, my mess, my failure. And I thank you that you want to do it for all of us. Your arms are open wide. You're searching, you're looking for us, hoping that we will respond, that we will come home to relationship with you. Come home to a hope that lasts longer than our job or life, everything we hold precious. Thank you, Father God. Amen.